Hello, hello, here we are. Very, very Madrileña. Of course, you're Spanish, you eat very well. That I'm super lucky to be able to teach and to help young people to become chefs. You teach them values as well. It's very important that, not just how to fry a potato. No. They value their own work, to eat well, to eat healthy, to squeeze the budget. We were presenting for 75 people steam pudding, and you know that steam pudding has a lot of sugar. So what they did, instead of putting sugar, they put salt. And that's
yummy.
They say to make paella, imagine how funny was that. They said to make it with arborio, so it's the Italian, the risotto rice. And I was just shocked. Of course, I stopped it and said, hey, there is one, paella rice. I mean, I was like, where is our arroz bomba? Chefs is well known as Strefful Carbria.
Take a seat at our table, prepare yourself some olives and a drink, and let's enjoy this mouth-watering journey together.
Our main role is to look after our clients.
Hola foodies, ¿cómo estáis? How are you? This is Veronica on the other side of the wave, and today on our very first episode of the Spanish Food Cult, I am introducing you to someone who changed her career in sports for the hops and the pots and the spatulas, Almudena Prada. Prada Chef on the socials. Welcome to our table.
Hello, hello, here we are. Yeah, that's right. I changed my career from being sportive. Well, no, I'm still sporty, eh? But to the hops.
And Madrileña from Madrid.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Very, very Madrileña. Sometimes I need to open mine. But we are trying on that. We are keeping it.
How long have you been living in the UK now, Almudena?
So I came to the UK in September 2014. So it's been a while already. I just came to learn English, basically, as au pair in Liverpool. And then I moved to Manchester because they talked to me about a residence that they were looking for someone to look after the people and prepare the meals and things like that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go there. I've never done it before, so I did it. I met loads of friends. And from there, it's like where my career started.
I introduced you saying that you changed your career, or you started a career in sports. So you were studying in Madrid first, and then you came here as an au pair, or then you started to study here and then you changed. How was it?
Ah, yeah. So I was in Spain. I was in university there in Madrid. So I was studying sports. And I decided I wanted to be a teacher, to become a teacher. I had that very clear since the very beginning. But basically, I realized that I couldn't become a teacher if I don't speak English, as in Spain is very important that. So I decided to take a gap year and to go and learn. So I got the opportunity to become an au pair, and there is where everything started.
And why did you choose the UK, the land of, I call it the land of the scrambled egg? Why did you decide to come here particularly instead of America or, I don't know, Australia, for example?
Well, to be honest, it's just I've never thought I wanted to go to get out of the country. I never thought about it. And then suddenly a friend of mine told me that there was an English mother looking for a Spanish au pair with activity and energy. And, you know, so she gave me the contact and I contacted her. And then straight away, I called my mom and I was like, mom, I got this. And then my mom was like, well, stop and think. So anyway, I came back home and then everything, and I decided, and I went the following week. I spoke with the university. I say, can I have a gap year, blah blah blah. So they say, yeah, of course you can have it. And there I came back.
So that's a radical change. Well, I have to say that I came to the UK also as an au pair, so I guess it's been a very huge experience for all Spaniards coming here to get introduced into the culture and to get to know the language better, or the fast track, I always call it.
And then we stayed.
And how was it? Like, it's such a radical change, no? You take a gap year And then you come here and then you decide that you want to work or you want to become a chef and work in the hospitality sector. How was that transition? What did your parents think? Like they thought well, you're crazy or or they
Yeah, definitely. Agreed? I mean, they thought, which is much, much more than understandable, that I was just a part of crazy. That it was because I made very good friends there and I just wanted to be there. I think that was my impression that they got. And then as well, they were thinking, but Almu, you have never cooked at home. So what are you doing? So it was like, yeah, mom, because I never thought I like it. I never knew about this area. So yeah, basically they thought I was crazy. But little by little, after I was talking to them, the excuse was like, I need to learn more English. So I stayed 1 year longer in Manchester. So that was fine. But they told me, okay, you do that, but you need to go for to an academy or something. But well, I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. So I took this academy and I was like 4 days a week, 2 hours each day. And that was enough for them to believe in that I was really learning English. So, and then my boss introduced me to this because I was realizing like I like the care looking after people, and I never knew about this area. So I was thinking, OMG, look, I think I like this. I like teaching, I like that. And then my boss was like, you know, I was the director of this hospitality college a while ago. You want to go and have a look and see? And I say, yes, okay. So we book a view. And I remember one of the bosses spoke Spanish. So mm-hmm. I say, okay, I like this. Why don't you call my mom? I didn't know anything about her. I didn't even met her, but I just knew she speaks Spanish. So I thought, why don't you call my mom and explain to her about this college? And then she was like, yeah, all right, yeah. Yes, she needs to understand. I was like, yeah, because she thinks I'm crazy. So, yeah. So,
she,
yeah.
She liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, she liked it. Well, she was a bit like, my goodness, what is she doing? But, yeah, I was all the time, I'll come back. So, you know, it's like 3 years, I'll come back.
And 4, 5, 7, it goes on. Yeah.
and goes on and on and on.
So, basically, your first contact your first steps to become a chef were in this residence where you were looking after people and cooking for them, right?
Yeah.
And now you're working as a tutor at Lakefield Hospitality School. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the school where you started to train as well.
Yeah, that's right. I came to England very young, with 18 years old, mm-hmm. turning 19. So you have that experience of living far from your family, rediscovering new people, new friends. So I was
becoming a bit
freedom. Yeah, that was freedom. Yeah. And at the same time, I was working to pay everything. So they give you the opportunity to work several hours to pay the studies and the mm-hmm. accommodation and things like that, because I wanted to do it this way and to actually value what I was doing. Otherwise, again, freedom, and then you don't pay much attention or you don't make use of it as much. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do it that way, and it worked very well.
So they saw you grow up.
Yeah, they saw it, and they helped me a lot, actually. It was, yeah. I think they had lots of faith in me, and when they see potential, and even though they don't see it, but when they see it, they go with you with the hand, like, come on.
Mm-hmm. It's very encouraging as well that someone believes on you, that you can get there. And also because you wanted to teach since the very beginning, even though you were into sports, you really yeah. knew that you wanted to teach.
So yeah, that's true. It's funny.
Almudena, what type of lessons do you teach? What kind of lessons do you give to your students? And what kind of students do you have now? Well, now maybe a bit more difficult because of the social distancing and the lockdown. But before the lockdown, how was your
So before the, I mean, it's still the same because in the end, we need to adapt to the circumstances. We need to keep growing. So now we teach online, but before that, we used to have 14 years old to 24 years old students. Why is that? It's because here, as many people might know, it was different. So they have, instead of doing the A levels, they have the opportunity to do MBQs. We do lots of healthy eating, dots, so with the pizza, bread, any types, donuts, pulses, patisserie and confectionery, meats, traditional techniques. We do a bit of everything, mm-hmm. but we base more in traditional techniques to help them to develop them.
Mm-hmm. So, and from the level that you're teaching, they can go further into further education related to become a chef, studying hospitality. Is it the next step?
Yeah. I mean, they start on, depends of where they come from. They start on doing level one or like either level two, level three, or either level four. And then it's where they start from the level three onwards. So there is a level four as well, but there level four is more management. Mm-hmm. And level three is like you focus in one area where they think, okay, I want to be, for example, myself, I did patisserie and confectionery. So mm-hmm. you profound on that and then, yeah, they got, and with that, you can go to a restaurant and become the junior chef or somewhere mm-hmm. or the head chef. We have few people already, the younger generation, no, the older generation, sorry, they have their own patisseries or they have their own bakeries or bake, you know.
It's also the first step to open their own business as well, especially speech management. You must be a good baker then.
Well, actually, I like it, you know, but we always need to learn and improve more. But now I'm more in general cooking. So I love every type of cooking. I'm more based in Spanish cuisine, actually. I put a lot in that.
That's great. Well, you're obviously leading and teaching students who are learning to cook. I don't know if many of them have already basic knowledge about cooking from home, or they just come virgin raw to you. Do you recall any funny incident at the kitchen or even that you could tell us about?
Oh yes. We have few. I mean, we have everything. You have people that they come already baking from their homes. You have people that they have never took a knife and start chopping. That's onions. you have a bit of everything. So with the onions, actually, they use goggles, some of them, because they cannot cope with to cry with the onions. So that for me is funny enough, just to say. But actually, we have I'm going to tell two stories. One is very funny, but at the same time, quite dangerous, because we were using the fryer. So this student was frying, so I asked her, okay, well, the oil cools down. Can you please clean the fryer? And then she was, I mean, I don't know what happened to her. I think it was just the first week, so she was a bit confused with life. And then she took a boiling water, and then she added into the boiling oil.
Oh,
and you can imagine that. My goodness. Bubbles all over the kitchen. But for me, I mean, it's funny, but it's dangerous. Eh? Mm. I start laughing like, but what have you done? So anyway, we were in the middle of the service. So as you can imagine, it was crazy. So we say, I mean, we need to tell them, like, sorry, we cannot enter to the kitchen at the moment because it was bubbles everywhere and it was very dangerous. So anyway, we left the kitchen and then until it cools down, we come back and then we carry on with the service. It was funny that. And then another one, sorry?
Sorry, go ahead, sorry.
The other one that is actually quite funny and that I'm sure it happens to many people, many of us, that it was we were presenting for 75 people a steam pudding, and you know that a steam pudding has a lot of sugar. So what they did, instead of putting sugar, they put salt. And that's
yummy. It has happened to many of us, for sure. It has happened.
It has happened, yeah, definitely. Anyway, so many like this. You don't get bored at all.
And you presented that to the people, or like?
Well, I mean, thank goodness we had a first, I think, because in these cases, before the service, you eat first. So one of them, it was from our side, from our students. She tried and she was like, OMG, what is this? So we, of course, before we present it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was already in the dining room, and then they called to put it back, and then they put ice creams. So this, oh my goodness, it was funny.
Must be quite a lot of stress. I mean, we find it funny now, but, and it's a common error that it can happen, as we were saying, to anyone. But what do you do in that situation? What did you do other than just, I don't know, imagine that someone started to eat it, or it must be a lot of stress. You guys, when I see these TV programs and I'm at a restaurant and I see the staff running around, it's a lot of stress, no? I guess.
It is a lot of stress, but as our role, when you are a tutor, you have to be the first one remaining in peace, because the person who actually did it is a student. So you need to keep encouraging them, so you don't just tell them off or whatever. It's like, don't worry, there is a solution. Don't worry, we have something else. Mm-hmm. So it's, it's stressful. Yes, it's stressful, but we learn as well to manage the stress time. Otherwise, and that person, she will never do it again, I'm sure.
For sure, for sure.
She would say three times before putting soto sugar. But I think it's as well, it's just to try to remain peace in those situations, because it's something that it happens and it doesn't have a solution in that moment. The other solution is just bring another dish and that's it. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is a lot of problem solving involved in the role.
Oh yeah.
Almudena, you mentioned earlier that you teach your students to cook healthy, and I recall we were talking before while we were just preparing meeting for our chat today, that you said to me, and I really liked it, that you enjoyed a lot of being a tutor and a chef is teaching people to eat well, to eat healthy, not spending a lot of money, and avoiding to waste food.
Yes,
I find this very interesting, because from my Spanish point of view, it's what I always saw my mom doing, like, you know, managing the budget, squeezing the budget, trying to, you know, leftovers from one day, use it for the other. But when I came here to the UK, these, I don't know if put it that way or call it that way, feeding values or eating values, we're completely different. There is more takeaway culture and more consumption of ready-made meals, right? Do you have that perception? Do you think that people here in general in the UK eat well and healthy? Is it changing? Is it improving? Is not?
Well, as the same as you, I had the same perception. For me, I was quite shocked about the type of food. But I have to say that now things are changing. People are becoming more conscious of what they eat. And if they eat some takeaway food, they always do a clean stomach, if we can call it that way. But it's true that now, at least where am I surrounded by, we actually look after a lot to make use of the leftovers, to eat well, to eat healthy, to squeeze the budget. And if you see, I mean, you can see in my YouTube channel that every ingredient that I use is something that everybody has it. And many times I use I make this dish from the leftovers from the other day. But again, people is changing. People are trying to eat more healthy. They are more conscious about it. And I believe that is even more since this pandemic started, because you start being more at home, and then I don't know, eating healthy affects your body and your mind and your brain. So it's very important that. So yeah. I think people are conscious about it. They want to look after it. And my students, they are quite conscious. It's quite funny. I find it very, they are, and they are very young for that as well. So we keep encouraging them and teach them how to cook, because sometimes we believe and we think that to eat healthy is to eat vegetarian or vegan. And it's not. It has much, much, much more from there. But more teenager people, they think that. So you teach them how to eat healthy, and if they want to become vegetarians, but to have the whole nutrition that their body needs, which that is a danger as well, because Sometimes they don't have everything.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah, I think that this the pandemic, as you were saying, especially with the lockdown, has encouraged us all to cook more at home, because, you know, like hospitality, restaurants, bars, coffee places, at the beginning, even like takeaway places was closed. So there wasn't any other alternative.
And I assume.
Appreciate more the process of creating your own food as well, which I think sometimes when we just the fast way of living, just grab and go, eat it and just keep going or keep working, we forget about the beauty of preparing your own food, of seeing the ingredients changing, for example, when you're cooking it.
Yeah, absolutely. And as well, I feel like now many restaurants, I would say in Spain, yes, but I think Spain was earlier that. But now here in England, in London, there are lots of restaurants that they are trying to cook healthy as well. And they sell it into that way. So that is quite encouraging as well, I think. A part of teaching people to learn and to cook from home.
Yeah, maybe you're not good at doing the shopping properly, but you can get these ingredients that you get like in a little box or set, and you can prepare it at home, having all the ingredients together to help you out if you're not a really good planner or cooker. So they make it easy for you. Almudena, as a tutor, I guess your students know that you are from Spain. So when they first met you, do they relate you, like knowing a little bit more, a little bit about the Spanish food, do they relate you to tapas and tortilla de patata? Or
yeah. yes. To tortilla de patatas, to paella, many, yeah, it's true. They related to me to that, but then they are, as soon as they see me cooking and the recipes that I bring, they suddenly realize that they were like, lentejas, as well we do, potato bravas. And well, for me, I have to say one of my students that is quite, I mean, is much older, oh, much older, sorry, 24 years old, but is the oldest in the in the class. She say, wow, Spanish, you must cook amazing lentejas. And I was finding like, she say lentejas. But so I say, lentils, yeah, well, I mean, we cook it, but for me, I wouldn't say that's very Spanish, which is, but that could be as well as Moroccan and Arabian, no? Or no, what do you think? I feel like that.
I think it's the way of cooking it, because every country, like if you, I think if you eat the Moroccan lentils or the Turkish, they put their spices. So we put ours out, I don't know, the pimenton, for example.
I use a lot of pimenton.
Yeah, I do as well. It's one of the essentials. But if we put chorizo in our lentejas, chorizo probably is not added into the Moroccan lentils, and they put their own spices. So it's good that you're also promoting food with your students that is not just the cliche or the known tapas that everyone knows. There is more than tapas and tortilla de patata and sangria in the Spanish gastronomy, for sure. And it's healthy as well, Mediterranean diet in the end.
Very healthy, yeah. And they like it that when we make or I bring them some recipes, even the fish recipes and things like that, they love it. It's like, wow, this is a good one. And then many comments that comes across is like, of course, you're Spanish, you eat very well. Mm-hmm. And you feel proud of it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. So that takes me to my next question. What's your impression of what people know about the Spanish cuisine and gastronomy here in the UK in general? Do you think we are well valued, just not just for the tapas and the fun part of the cuisine?
I think when you say you're Spanish, they of course say paella, tapas, but they have a general view of that we cook and eat healthy in general. But at the same time, I have a feeling sometimes that they understand, but they don't really understand how we cook it. I think we are getting there, and as well, I think many people know that we have lots of Michelin stars, Spanish chefs. So in general. More the young chef, I have to say as well. The young ones are more into that.
At school, do you also study like cuisines of the world, or do you just focus more on the technical side of the cooking?
We do technical sides of it, and then we go as well to the techniques in the world. But here I have to say, me as a Spanish, I put always Spanish chefs. If I go and ask, do you know any Spanish chef? Maybe they will talk to me about Ferran Adrià or Martín Berasategui. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Before David Muñoz, because he had here a restaurant in London, but nothing else, you know. And it's, I found that we need to promote it better in that way.
Mm-hmm. We need to promote our names, no? To
yes,
make more. Them more out there to say, yay, we have big names as well with big mission stars in Spain competing, no?
We need to, yes, definitely. So it's in our hands to do it. And in my hands, for example, will be to teach it from there and to inspire them. Many times when I remember when I was a student there, we used to have lots of jobs and works to do an assessment, to do talking about inspiring yourself in a chef. And I always was inspiring in the Spanish one. So I was changing. Ferran Adrià, I use a lot, Martín Berasategui, Jordi Cruz, all of these ones, always putting it there. So
great.
Yeah, I think little by little.
And I think from your side, from you guys who are chefs who come here to the UK to keep promoting, to speak out of Spanish gastronomy and cuisine, it's a big challenge and it's a big role what you're doing.
It's a big role, yeah.
We need to thank you for making the Spanish cuisine go farther and farther and higher and making it more famous and well-known.
Well, and we need to thank you that they give us the opportunity to do it. they are very open to it. So it's good.
That's
good.
That's true. I think particularly London is a place where you can really show and it's appreciated.
Yes.
Different cultures and different cuisines. And within
you feel comfortable.
Exactly. Sure. We probably have quite a few people listening who are getting started with Spanish cooking, especially these days that, as we were saying, we're in lockdown. What do you think are the essential ingredients that someone into cooking Spanish food should always have in their pantry?
So I'll say funny ones, but that never can miss in your kitchen. So it would be extra virgin olive oil, essential, serrano ham, chorizo, pimentón de la Vera, paprika for yeah, generous, saffron. For me, it's very funny this, but pulses and Spanish rice. It's like I miss it sometimes. It's like what is it? Big quantities.
It's actually difficult to find a good rice to make, for example, paella.
It's difficult.
Unless you go to one of our, we're fortunate because we have many e-commerces now where we can find Spanish products, Spanish rice coming from Valencia. But it's very difficult to go to a normal, like, you know, the shop just around the corner where you go to do your normal groceries and find a good rice. Why?
It's because I think our rice is not very well, I don't know, it doesn't have that promotion, if we can call it that way. I was having a class with because we are doing a competition and things like that, cookery competitions, and then it was about Indian cuisine and rice, all about rice, but nothing mentioned about the Spanish rice. They say to make paella, imagine how funny was that, they said to make it with arborio, so it's the Italian, the risotto rice. And I was just shocked. Of course, I stopped it and say, hey, there is one, paella rice. I mean, it's very similar, arborio and the Spanish rice, but yeah. I mean, I was like, where is our arroz bomba?
Exactly.
So yeah, I brought it from when I came back from Spain in Christmas. I brought 2 sachets of Spanish rice.
You were one of the lucky ones going back.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I should have mentioned that.
No, it's fine. Whoever can do it must enjoy it. So I'm happy for you. Well, and Mudena, what's the ingredient that you cannot live without?
Without.
If you had to choose one.
Only one.
Only one.
Okay, extra virgin olive oil. I'll go to that one.
I agree with you. I think that's, even if you just have rice and extra virgin olive oil, you're covered because of the...
Oh, super covered, yeah.
Yeah. And what's your favorite dish, your Spanish dish?
I have loads. I have, many times they ask me that. I have difficulties to say that. So paella, of course.
Yes.
Migas, manchegas. I love migas, manchegas. Morcilla, patatas bravas, croquettes. I mean, I have loads. Gazpacho, a lot.
You had to choose one, just making it different. For you.
No, I'll choose it. Octopus, okay. A la gallega.
Now I'm going to change countries. What's your favorite English dish?
I love roast beef and the roasty dinners. I like that.
Oh, the Sunday roast.
Sunday roast, yeah.
I love it as well. But I'm more of a, I'm more a fan of a good pork belly.
Okay. Yeah. That's very nice as well.
What are you the proudest of your career as a chef in London? All the work that you have done so far.
The proudest, to be honest, is that I'm super lucky to be able to teach and to help young people to become a chefs, not just in the matter that they can become the best chefs ever. No. I'm talking about more human beings, because chefs is well known as a stressful career. Yeah. But if you teach them and help them to control that since the very beginning and to learn from, like, to learn and to teach them how to believe in themselves and being there for them, that's for me the most proudest, because you teach them values as well. It's very important that, not just how to fry a potato. No. Or how to chop an onion. It's the values and how they value their own work. So I'm very proud of that.
Definitely. No, it sounds perfectly understandable. And I agree with you that there is, and even though I'm not a professional, I'm not a chef, or I can see that there is a lot of stress involved in the job. When you see people from the inside of the kitchen running, you guys, because when we go to a restaurant, this is not like we go to a shop and we want to buy something. We go to eat. That's, we have a need. That it's,
yeah.
You don't go there just to have a drink as well, but you go to eat and you become fussy. And you guys have to deal with that. So that's, I really appreciate the control of your nerves and your stress.
It's important. And also we help people as well. From, nobody sees as a chef. And many people, when they talk about chefs or cooks, they see like, oh, they have like fancy things to do. No. Actually, our main role is to look after our clients. And it's, we can not feel even more prouder of that as well. So... we need to learn to not be so stressful.
But I completely understand that it's normal. It's very difficult to deal with as a client coming into a restaurant and maybe something goes wrong and you as the person who is working on it and preparing it, you don't want it to go wrong because it's your job. And in the end, things can go wrong sometimes, you know.
It can go wrong.
Well, what would you like to advise to someone who wants to become a chef and is listening right now?
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Start from now. There is lots of opportunities in become a chef. You can be a private chef. You can have your own account. You can teach. There is lots of things you have. You can have your own restaurant, little one, a small one, a big one, whatever. So just follow it. Another thing that, not just to become a chef, but if I cook, you can cook. So everybody can cook in this life. Everybody. Better or worse, but they can do it.
Do you have any projects in the Horizon Almudena?
Well, yes. We have to, with my husband, we're doing and developing Prada Chef. So it's the Instagram and the YouTube channel where we do easy recipes. We want to do some deliveries, so we are doing some Yeah, we're doing some meals for friends. So at the moment, we started with friends, but our idea is to develop it and to have deliveries.
Yeah, let me know. I'll be one of your clients, by the way.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And then private classes as well, teaching and private classes.
Oh, that's very interesting. I think it's a very cool initiative. So
yeah, it's to teach them as well to organize their menus. To be a private chef and private classes, the aim is to teach people when they have family and they work, and the idea is always, I don't have time. So it's to learn to teach them how to do batch cooking, if it's right to say, and cooking healthy and nice, not just fried or frozen food.
Super important. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, Almudena, Prada chef, it has been a pleasure to share our virtual table with you. Muchísimas gracias for your time. I have enjoyed a lot.
Thank you.
Today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure here to share the little thing that we have from Prada Chef to spread it and the Spanish cuisine. Let's go.
Definitely.
We have a lot to do. Let's enjoy it.
Let's enjoy it. Yeah. And thank you. Yes. To you who are listening to our podcast on the other side of the wave, I hope you enjoyed as much as we did. Have a great day, and I hope to have you around at our next episode. So see you soon. Hasta pronto.
Hasta pronto.